everyone, and welcome to part 3, Blogging Journeys, evolving personal narratives, stories, reflections, and perspectives. My name is Glenn Grew. Welcome. First thing I want to mention is that when we're talking about blogging journeys, the image that comes immediately to mind is the idea of crossing paths, the liminal journey betwixt and between. You're crossing a path, you're crossing a river, you're moving from one location to another, you're in transition. And the idea is that blogging becomes a series of life streams. We are in fact using a number of resources available to us, which then filter down and get sifted when we apply them to our formal learning. So several examples of blogging life streams would be our professional lives, our hobbies and interests, and our personal experiences. And all of these, as I say, are sifted and filtered down into our application of how they're going to be used for formal learning. So transitioning is a key area about what blogging is about as a journey. Blogging is liminality, betwixt and between. What it involves is that blogging implies a constantly shifting relationship between the author, the writer, and the written text. When you write, you become what you've written. You think about what you've written, and you've always got to recognize that whatever you blog gives rise to tentative provisional output. That is, it's constantly in the process of change. By rereading something, you're going to be bringing something new to the table each time, even after 5 minutes or 50 minutes or 5 years. It's going to always be different. So blogging, in a way, by stilling the moment and capturing the moment, it enables changes of mind and perspective. Blogging captures an individualized shifting of signature and persona. So how we write, what we write about, how we organize our ideas, the roles we take on, the perspective we take on, is captured in a still in that blog post. And as we shift, and as we change, and as we develop, the signature and the persona shift as well. So this is what I mean by the idea of blogging as liminality. Blogging also involves self-reflection, in which we're carving out private discursive spaces for contemplation on our own. As I say, we're creating both stilled reflections of our lives, and we're also constructing our lives, reconstructing them. We're retrieving, revisiting, reviewing, revising earlier posts, earlier experiences, and this in turn by stopping and taking a moment to reflect, it sparks transformative growth. The other thing important to note is that blogging is typically associated with diarying, the use of diaries. And diaries have typically served a number of personal needs. The confessional, DDA called it the journal intime, therapeutic, there's a need to record chronicles or adventures or experiences, oftentimes when we're traveling. It's often used for scrapbooking and is used as a drafting table or a notebook. So these are some things that are used typically when we blog. What I want to mention, though, is diarying is not a private genre. It's preferred by private people in the sense that they want their content secure, but they're actually addressing an audience. So we can't just say no, someone is just interested in addressing themselves, because in fact, when they write, they're always taking into account some sort of audience. Blogging is involved in epistolary narrative, the idea of storytelling and the use of letters. So, for example, joint diaries, joint blogs. Typically, historically, joint diaries have been used by transient groups of individuals who are sharing a common experience. Letters tend to be semi-public. They tend to be something in which you're writing a private letter to someone, but in effect it would be something that may be useful later on to yourself or to others. Letters, in effect, in this context, epistolary narratives, tell a serialized, unfolding story from different characters' perspectives. And this type of epistolary blogging could involve potentially role-playing, rehearsing, remembering, performing. You know, there's this whole potential implications of the epistolary genre is interesting. And it's something I want to point out to groups. Blogs are captured dialogues. There's ego documents in which we are revisiting past reified memories. They're joint diaries, in effect, that we're sharing our ideas and experiences in a communal sense. Blogs as captured dialogues can also involve educational biographies in terms of perspective transformation, you know, shifting ideas, and is often used in previous learning assessment and review. Captured dialogues could be in the form of portfolios and used formally as summative assessments or professionally, and it can also be used in play building as storytelling. So, drama and so on, the idea of performance. Blogging as social ritual. Blogging is important because it provides a collective means of expression to record and exchange spiritual as well as intellectual journeys to one another. It also has the role of communicating beliefs, values, and knowledge across time and space with like-minded audiences. So if that is your focus, then you're going to be blogging in entirely different ways than the practical networked blogger. Blogging is performance. Blogging includes the addressee, involves an act of communication towards a number of different possible audiences. Imaginary friends, the world at large, a deity, God, oneself even in either the past or the present or the future, a mirrored other, the imagined potential self. So we have this idea that we're blogging for an audience and making a performance, and when we do that and we take different perspectives and we address different audiences and communicate with them, we're developing our view, our worldview, depending on who we're talking to. There are a number of challenges for student bloggers then. You know, a lot of this that I'm talking about doesn't necessarily have to do formally with edublogging, but it is touching on edublogging since it's a starting point. We often are introduced to blogging for the first time in a formal context. What's important is, in the case of edublogging, is to engage learners to create their own personal educational biographies, to help them participate in synchronizing their own ideas with others, to empower them to test their own evaluations and impressions, and engage more comfortably in active self-disclosure in a responsible manner. It's also important to aid them with resolving their own confusion and ambivalence over expectations of transparency. You know, who's going to see what? Reciprocal exchange and addressivity. Addressivity meaning, who are you going to address and why? And it's also important for student bloggers to strengthen their own ties with others by swapping resources. When we shift our perspective to that of being dependent and requiring aid to being one who is more independent, more autonomous, and more helping, then our perspective as a blogger changes. Some blogging activities I want to refer to are things such as building and sharing blogging profiles, swapping experiences with waymaking, selecting, collecting, and contributing links to tools, experts, and bookmarks, engaging in cooperative sense-making, and engaging in reflective summaries. So those are just some examples, and I'll come up with about a dozen different ways of using blogging as activities. When it comes to sharing and building blogging profiles, I would encourage learners to develop their profiles as learners, explain what they would like to do with their blogs, and what skills they would like to develop. What would then happen is that learners read and reflect on the profiles of others and their own, identifying which is similar, which are similar, which are different, and then going from there in terms of impressions. Another example of activities is swapping experiences with waymaking. Learners would swap their best ways to find useful bloggers and resources online and describe the content of the expert blogs and sites in a series of blog posts. Learners would then describe how others' blogs, peers, expert bloggers, the instructor, others, have influenced their own blogging activity. This is obviously, these are processes. These will take a while to develop. The next type of activity involves selection, collection, and contribution of links to the group in terms of tools, experts, and bookmarks, so that learners would share their initial hit and miss activities, what I call their path making activities, online with others while searching for useful resources. So they, in effect, experience it and then document it and log it. The next step would be that learners summarize and annotate useful resources, posting summaries and reviews for peers as bookmarks, links, RSS feeds, etc. So then there's a collaborative element here. So it's really important that we encourage cooperative, collaborative, and individual learning at the same time. And again, engaging in cooperative sense-making, an example would be that learners document their selection, drafting, and writing processes. They create posts that contain unrefined ideas, and these then are shared through short snippets, including self-questioning, working notes, and links to both active and dormant content. In effect, they're writing their ideas down, and then they're writing alongside that process notes, and they're embedding that into their posts, into their blog posts, so meta-commenting, etc. These posts would then build on and weave together various sources, one's own earlier posts, feedback from the instructor and peers, resources, articles, etc. So this is what I mean by cooperative sense-making. We're engaging others, but we're also engaging in our own previous archived content. Reflective summaries. Most people look at the reflective summaries as the most important, but I'm begging to differ. I think that reflective summaries are important, but they're not the only thing going on in a blog. They do have potential, and there'd be more on that, but they're only one tool. They're only one technology involved, one main focus, but there are several. Learners look back at their own postings, compare their posts, their ideas, their experiences to expert bloggers, peers, and instructors' posts. Learners reflect on challenges, lessons learned, skills, and knowledge gaps, as well as positive and not-so-positive experiences. Learners read and comment on their own peers' reflections to apply to their own future blogging practice, and they actually talk about that. So I've come up with about a dozen different activities that students can engage in, depending on the type of activity, and it is based largely on the different knowledge-building activities that I've talked about. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. I just want to finish up with Josie's Van Dijk's post. She has a particular quote. It's from Composing the Self of Diaries and Life Logs. Blogging itself becomes a real-life experience, a construction of self that is always mediated by tools for communication and experience. We're just beginning our journeys. Thank you for sharing mine, and I look forward to continuing the journey. Thank you. Take care.